Tonight, I did want to finish out, I think, the series that I have been focusing on in living your calling, for each of us to live our calling. If you have your yellow printouts right there with you, I want us to go over this. Remember, each one of the sessions focused on loved, we are called to be loved. God does that for us and within our heart. Next was we were called to belong. We're called to not only belong to God, but to belong to one another. Then we were called to become. To become what? To become whoever God has called us to be. And to be able to become the Christ that is living in us to the world. We are to walk for Christ. And then we're all called to bless. We're to be a blessing to one another. Let me do that. We're to be a blessing to one another, no matter what is going on within our life. Focusing on the end of this series is the biggest focus of all. God said that we are called to be sent. Called to be sent. Now, here's what I want us to get from that. We are here. This is the place we are sent to. We're called to be sent. We are here to glorify God. This is His world, despite what others say. He made it. He blessed it. He cursed it. And then He says, I'm coming back to restore it. This is God's earth. And this is the place where you and I were called by God to be sent. Now, when God calls us to go out, He calls us to go out into the world to follow His will, not our own. Every one of us always get in trouble when we've decided that we're going to help God out. You can't do that. I cannot help God. I can be one of the mouthpieces for God. God doesn't need my help. God has blessed you and He's blessed me with such a blessing that He says, I've sent you out. Now pay attention to me. I'll take care of you in the sending process. I'll touch your life. I'll bless your life. And through your life, I will bless others. But if we're called to be sent, then you and I as Christians must understand that God says, do something. I'm sending you out to do something. Did you ever send a teenager out and then not tell them what they're supposed to do in the yard? And you come home, they're still in the yard, enjoying sitting there, looking around under the shade tree. You told me to come out, but you didn't tell me what to do. So I didn't want to do anything for fear I might mess something up. That sounds like the church today. Lord, you said that you're sending me, but I have not heard my call. The reason we have not heard God's call is not because He's not talking. It's because we are not listening. And or the call that in which He's called us to is not particularly what we wanted to do. Now, you know, I wanna sing. So I'm going to get up here and I'm going to sing. It will not take two notes until you realize, Larry, you need to be searching deeper in the calling end of it. What God calls us to do, He prepares us for. He will give us the gift of whatever that is. We're called to be sent. God's plan for history, look at this. God's plan for history, He's gathering a family that will love and live with Him forever. Okay, we're sent here. Who did the sending? God did the sending. He sent us here. He did it for a purpose. What's the purpose? That we are to unite together as His family. You and I can unite together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the family of God, but we're also the army of God. We are the physical proclaimers of the truth of God. We are the Christians who are to be Christ-like, and we are Christ with skin on. We are the one that God has chosen for if it is just one particular personality. Think of this. The individual that's called from as a child, and God sees in the future, there's one personality out there, and that personality is going to relate to this personality. And then this personality then thinks, goes through their whole life walking, going to church, talking to God, and saying, I don't know what my calling is. And here they are, 150 years old, and they're walking there saying, what's it all about? And then God introduces us to that one person, that one soul. If God looks in our heart and chooses us and calls us to his service, does that not make us not only important to God for ourselves, but to that one individual? That one individual that is sitting there and been crying out to God for an answer? And sometimes God realizes we're not ready for the answer. It's not that God is not hearing us. It's not that God is not answering prayer. It's that God says, yes, there's an answer, but you can't handle it right now. You can't deal with it now, because you're going to have to grow and you're going to have to mature into the individual Christian that I've called you to be. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. We're blessed already in the heavenly realms. You getting it? Okay. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing that was given to Christ. And it was Christ, Jesus himself, that said, all these things you see me do, when I leave and go to the Father, not only the things you have seen me do, but many, many more you will be able to do. Do we not claim it? Do we not look at the Word of God and understand that when he calls, that calling is secure? I can never lose my calling. I can lose my witness to the world. I can't lose my calling. A good friend of mine many years ago, when he was having to leave the ministry, he said to me, Larry, I'm as called today to preach as I was from the beginning of my ministry, but I can no longer preach because of my sin. And when I was talking to him, I looked at him and he knew what I was looking at, for I saw it a different way. It wasn't him who had committed that sin. It was a church. It was Satan involved. And I felt for him, but I knew he was right. Now he is in a nursing home somewhere. And I can tell you now, he's as called to preach the gospel today as he ever was. What happens? Way, way far too often, human ideals, human traditions, traditions of just people, families, say if this happens, you can't preach. And if you don't preach it the way we tell you to preach it, you ain't going to preach it. Our callings are each one individual. Therefore, you and I must focus on the direct calling that we have as an individual, and to undergird one another. And instead of putting one down, you lift them up. I will never be punished by God. Jesus died on that cross. And when I said yes to him, The punishment was already taken for me. God has extended to me ultimate love, as he has to each Christian. And the call is still there. You are sent. So when people get over their pity parties about what they've done wrong or this, that, or the other, they have a job to do, a ministry to perform. Finish it up. For he chose us in him. I was chosen in Christ. You were chosen in Christ. Now when? Before the creation of the world, to be holy, set aside for him, and blameless in his sight. In his sight. It's not what other people say. It is the sight of Christ that you and I are to focus on. What do I look for in my own life? I will find peace, but I'll only find it through the eyes and the heart of Christ who called me. It's in his sight. What kind of sight? In love. His sight. In love. He predestined us. Now, don't let anybody lead you astray on that one. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. There had never been another plan other than Christ coming. It was predestined by God before anything existed, including time as we know it, that Christ would come and we were be adopted. Okay, he gave us the law. Why? To show us we couldn't keep it. That's what he said. If we could have kept it, Jesus would never have had to go to the cross. But listen to this. Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, no one, including Satan, was allowed to speak against you or me. Jesus took care of that. When Jesus came, he kicked Satan out. When Jesus came, at that point, never again was Satan allowed to come into the presence of God. He was not allowed to make one railing accusation in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, he was no longer allowed to be in the presence of God. If you'll read Job, you will find how often Satan would come down to earth and go back, and people say, what does that mean? Don't worry about it. Believe it, it happened. But he would bring railing accusations back to God concerning us, God's greatest of his creation. Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus kicks him out, never allowed again. God then looks at for you, looks at me through the eyes of his son. Ain't that good? Don't we understand that it's through who Christ is in us, not my good or your good, because God said, I look now at the heart of man and I know that his heart is evil continually. There is nothing good in the heart of man. And man, that's tough. And then I look at my heart. It might be tough, but it's true. You see, my salvation is in my Savior, Jesus Christ, not in my mind and not in what I do. It's the love that he gives me and you in our heart, in our spiritual mind. That love is always true. Don't forget it. Romans 10, 13 through 15. Now, I don't know how anybody can mess this up. But I guarantee you there are people in churches, Christians, professing Christians, and preachers that mess this up. Listen to it. Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you catch that? Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you see anything in the scripture that has a thing to do with the color of our skin, or the clothes that we wear, or the attitude of our mind, or the foolishness of our life? Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No wonder when we stand before our Savior. No wonder when God is looking us straight in the eye that we have no right to say, the preacher didn't tell me. And God says, you'll have no excuse because I will have revealed myself to you. Huh? I don't know what it is about anyone that we don't understand, but how can they call on him who saved them to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The good news. Well, you got to go tell them now. They're going to burn in hell. I do preach those sermons. I preach sermons, as you will notice, as God gives them to me a lot. And I love it that way, but it gets a little spooky inside here a lot of times in the process. But God says, okay, I'm sending you. Take to them the good news. What do I come? Do I come then to an individual and say, I've come to your home to let you know what a low, rotten sinner you are. God sent me here to tell you that you're going to hell and you are just a horrible person. I doubt very much you will get in the door. And if you have your foot there, you'll probably lose it as they slam the door on it, and you ought to. God's sending plan for us doesn't simply relate to his heavenly realm. Oh, Christians, we forget this way too many times. His sending plan focuses on our eternal living at peace now, here in the present. Eternal living in peace here. Now, there is a scripture that is misused continually, and politicians love using it, like a lot of other scripture that's misused by them. Listen to this. This eternal living begins the instant we accept Jesus Christ. Now listen to John 14:27 and Matthew 5:9. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Why? Jesus says, because my peace I'm going to give you. I'm leaving my peace with you. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart. We have a peace that supersedes our understanding, but we sure are happy we have that peace. During the trials and tribulations of life, some of the greatest storms that are stirred up by us, the individual. See, it's not that God sent a storm in your life. It's that you and I, instead of taking God at his word, we build within our life tornadoes, all sorts of storms. Well, we'll even go as far as conjuring up a hail storm. And we will get beaten down from what? From our own thoughts and the messed up heart that we have. You can no longer serve the Lord because you're sinful. Well, That means no human being, according to God, then can ever serve him. Because all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. But now listen to the verse that's misused. You ready? Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Every time I hear someone in public office saying, you know, the Bible said, they always quote scripture that they think relates to something they're doing. Outside of that, they're not going to quote anything. Let me tell you about the peacemaking part. I want you, again, you pay attention to look at Romans 10, 13 through 15, and then look at John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you now. Look at Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The peacemaking is not the peace that somebody makes between a nation to another nation or one person to another person. That's not the peacemaking that God is talking about. That kind of peace is very short-lived, right? Very short. It is not that kind of peace. The peace that God is talking about is the inner peace of you and I sharing the Word of God with the world until they find peace inside themselves. All this other peace garbage, how soon does it last? Good gracious, how many type of deals have we made with other nations? Oh, this is the peace process. The peace process begins in the heart of man, not in the heart of a nation. It begins in the heart of God's children. And God said, I want you to take my word so they can have peace in their heart. If through the word of Christ, every human being finds that peace, then there would be no war. When the peace of Christ comes within our heart, we do not want to see war, and we will push out greed. We will push out all of the other garbage. Why? Because we're at peace. We get at peace with life, and we get at peace knowing we'll never die. Now, when Satan has been muzzled from being able to convince any of us that he really has something to do with our eternal life, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to just shut up and say, Jesus, would you take care of this for me? Too many people are trying to argue with the devil. He's pretty tough. And he can quote a lot more scripture than you can quote, too. Look what he tried to do with Jesus. He's quoting Jesus' words back at him. I guess like Jesus, he won't know this is coming. And we do the same. Now listen to it. Our individual calling and sending is based on God's eternal peace plan. God's eternal peace plan is the peace in the heart of man. Listening a lot to what is going on in Louisville and what is going on in all the big cities, small cities and all. I've listened to a statement from teenagers and middle school people that I've heard ever since I can remember. We don't have anything to do. We don't have any place to go. So we're going to go kill somebody and destroy private property and do all we can to beat people and walk up behind elderly people and hit them upside the head and laugh as they fall because we don't have anything to do. It's not because they don't have anything to do. They do not want to have anything else to do because that's what they do when they don't know Christ. That's what the world does. We have been sucker punched by Satan, and he continues to gain ground. And we listen at the foolish, foolish statements of, well, they just didn't know better. Do you remember, most of you, when you messed up at school, the reason you tried to keep it quiet from your parents after you got the whipping was because you'd get another whipping when they found out? But it got worse when we tried to keep it and they found out a different way. We got two whippings from them, the parents. My mother never had any sense when it came to whipping. She'd hit me with a buckle, or she'd nail you with anything she had in her hand. So you'd get the double whammy. And God says, I sent my son to give you the eternal peace plan. Accept it. You know, Jesus never has whipped me. That's not the chastising of Christ. The chastising of Christ is when a Christian knows what they're doing is not right. Knows that we, living in this nature, we will never get it right. And we find peace with one another. Realizing that, okay, Larry's messed up, but I'm messed up too. And he's not any more messed up than I'm messed up, unless I'm feeling down on myself that day so I can look at somebody else and say, they're more messed up than me. That's the human nature. That's what goes on. But you and I are to live above that nature within our spirit. Christ said, I'm going to give you power. And we wait and look and see if the muscles just pop out. We don't want to work out. We don't want to do any of that. We don't want to really eat healthy to get that way. We just want God to say, okay, this is what you're going to do. And you're going to be real strong. And all the muscles, you wake up the next morning and you are looking good. Life isn't that way, is it? Number one, God's eternal peace plan is this: to use ordinary people, you and me, the whosoever's. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You and I are the whosoever's. You and I are the whosoever's. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, somebody tell me where all of the additional rules and regulations came from that everybody's trying to put on people. Whosoever will, let him come. Be careful about what you add to grace. You don't say grace plus this equals salvation. The grace plus focus is not of God. Number two, of God's eternal peace plan: to be empowered by God through Holy Spirit peace. Our empowerment on being sent by God, what empowers us is when we have peace within us, peace in our spirit. Folks, when you have that peace, and someone's looking at you saying, if you continue to speak of this person named Jesus, you will die. You hear the laughter coming from your spirit. No one can take your life from you. Yeah, but you know, the Jewish people that time, they took Jesus's. Jesus said they didn't. It was Jesus that said, I lay down my life of my own. You could not even take it. And when he did that, and he conquered their sin by going to the cross, he says, now, don't you sweat it. I've already done the heavy lifting. I mean, my yoke is ready, and my yoke's light. My yoke is light because I've done the pulling for you. I've already accomplished for you. I want to give to you because I love you. And to this day, so many people think they can earn the love of God or buy the love of God. It's a gift. It's grace. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, making a difference together. That's what Jesus' church does, making a difference together. Wherever they or us are, there ought to be evangelism. Somebody ought to be coming up and asking us, what makes you different? I was never told to go out into the world and to blend in. I'm ordered by God to stand in the world and do anything but blend in. Rock the boats and sink the ship if that's what it takes. Do you dare to blend in with the world knowing that we've been sent by Christ who's already conquered the world? That boat ride has already been paid for. Every Christian is sent for a purpose. Number three, to bring others into God's family. Do you know that's the ultimate ministry you and I have, is to bring others into God's family. Okay, how do I convince them? You don't. Remember, you always heard me teach it and preach it. When they're under conviction by the Holy Spirit, then God will put you there, and you being there with skin just like they have skin, and they will hear His word through you, realizing one of the greatest blessings that you'll ever hear, folks. And that is, when you grow up with people and they think they know everything about you, and the greatest compliment you'll ever get, gosh, if Jesus could save Larry Vance, He could save me. If Jesus could save Larry Vance, anybody can be saved. That's a compliment, whether they think it is at the time or not. That's a compliment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Through Christ, God made peace between us and Himself. Then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with Him. That's the peacemaking. It is spiritual peacemaking. Your enemies are always going to be at war with you. Your peace treaties aren't going to work from one human being or one nation to another. The only peace that is true and will work is peace in Him that we share with others. John 20, verse 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Told you we were sent. How do I go? I go peacefully. You and I either know that Jesus is real in our heart, or you need to set it home and keep praying till you do. But once we know that peace that surpasses all understanding, we have no right to lock it in the doors of a church or at home. John 15, verse 16. Oh, listen to this. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Okay, the only fruit of the vine that will last is love. All other things will pass away, But love will never pass away. It's what I do in love with people or for people, to where I know and you know that because of Jesus' love, we were appointed. How could anybody that's been appointed by God ever even think for a second that your mission on earth is frivolous? That you are less than somebody else that teaches or somebody who preaches? That your calling is less important? The calling that God has given each one of us is a calling of unity within the church. The church is the body of Christ, not me individually and not you individually. We got to get linked up. And we got to get linked up with the right attitude, the right heart. Preferably, Jesus' heart. Isaiah 14, verses 24 and verse 26. It will all happen as I planned. Folks, God has a plan. Let's be thankful you and I are in that plan. You and I, because of knowing Jesus, we are brothers and sisters in Christ walking with Him. It will all happen as I have planned. Not as you have planned, Larry, as I have planned. It will come about according to my purpose. Boy, do I praise God for that. Do you ever think, you know, this is what I always wanted to do. This is what I always wanted to do. And then you find out that your whole life was spent in something that you didn't think that's what you wanted to do. But it's the only thing that really made a difference in life. That God had been in control all along. Many people say, well, I don't know what to do. And my statement back to them is, if you're a Christian, you're already doing it. I don't understand how God works the way that He does with each of us individually, with all the different personalities and bringing us together. I do not understand it. But I know that it's real, and I know that that's what happens. It will all happen as I have planned. It will come about according to my promise. I have a plan for the whole earth, for my mighty power reaches throughout the world. Please don't ever let someone tell you, and you believe it, that this earth will be destroyed by man. Won't happen. We can destroy one another, and we can have wars, and we can destroy the different parts with all of our bombs and all of the chemicals. We can do it, but for only a short period of time. As we see a hill that is barren, go back 5 years later. And look at the fresh grass, the new trees. This earth belongs to God. Will it be destroyed? Yes. He says it will. But He says, I'll be the one that destroys it, not you. It will not be man shooting missiles in the air and them falling down. I always smile when I listen to these nations threaten as to what they will do. And I remember Proverbs. He that digs a pit will fall into his own trap. What do they do when they shoot it up and it comes straight back down on their head? Think of it. All of earth and everything in it belongs to God. Do you really believe that God would allow the human race to destroy His creation? But in our mind, I suppose we think that Satan's more powerful. And Let me tell you this about Satan, and I'll shut up. Satan really does think he knows what God knows. You would think that he learned a lesson at the cross. Oh, you know, the Son of God, Christ, is dead. Yay! And then all of a sudden Jesus is standing there. No! Think of it. All the elements, everything in existence knows God and knows that he exists. Satan only has the power you allow him to have. You don't have to put up with that, because Satan does not own property that God created and saved. You and I happen to belong to him, bought and paid for by the blood of his Son. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation. Thank you for our calling, each one of us, Father. I pray that as you touch our life, you touch our heart, Father, as you lift each of us up in spirit, that it'll always be your mighty miracles that will be seen. Touch each of us to focus on love. Touch each of us to focus on your love. And give us that courage to stand strong in it. For we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.